Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your live connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Good afternoon. Today is July 17th, 2014, and you're listening live to Body, Mind, Spirit Radio. And today's show, In Touch Interviews, we have a wonderful guest today, Carl Kalaman. He is here with us today to discuss his book, The Global Mind and the Rise of Civilization. And I would love to give you a little bit of a background on Carl before we welcome him on. He is a scientist and philosopher born in Stockholm, Sweden, recognized as the main proponent of the idea that the mind calendar reflects the evolution of consciousness. He has lectured worldwide, and his books on this topic have been translated to 14 languages. He has a PhD in physical biology from the University of Stockholm and has been a senior researcher of environmental health at the University of Washington in Seattle. He has served as an expert on cancer for the World Health Organization, and articles he has authored or co-authored have been quoted more than 1,500 times in the scientific literature. So without further ado, I would like to welcome Carl. Hello,
yes,
Carl.
Hello. Hello there.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Well, I'm good. I've been enjoying reading your book. It's kind of a funny story, though. I sat down and I started to read it. And some of the concepts in the book, my husband understands better than I do. He actually is working on a bachelor's in microbiology. So I actually had to backtrack and reread it or start rereading it with him because he's very interested in a lot of the concepts that you've written about. So I thought that was really interesting, and I wanted to share that with you.
Yes, good, good. He's brought into it, yeah.
Now, tell us a little bit about your book, because it's definitely a little bit of a mouthful, The Global Mind and the Rise of Civilization, and it's a novel theory of our origin. So tell us a little bit about your book.
Well, it's the first book in a trilogy. It will be followed by two other books, one which will be about altered states of consciousness and one that will be about the future of the mind. And so it's very much about how is the human mind created? Where does it come from? And how does it evolve? And it's also very much then related to questions about the rise of civilization in early civilizations especially, but also how civilizations have evolved. And so it presents a completely new theory where the rise and evolution of civilizations is the result of a predetermined evolution of the mind. So the mind evolves according to a rhythm of its own, and it is this rhythm, these cycles that are described by the Mayan calendar. The ancient peoples were more sensitive to these rhythms of evolution of consciousness than people in modern times generally are. And so we have to, in order to understand where our civilization comes from and where it's going, I say that we really need to have the background of the Mayan calendar, because that's what really describes all the shift points in consciousness that have been marking the evolution of civilization. So the book is basically then combining two things that have previously very much been looked upon as separate issues. One is the question, why did civilization arise on our planet? This has been an unsolved question. You know, why are we not still living in caves and so forth? That's one of the problems that it solves, I would say. And the second problem then is the relationship between brain and mind. And here it comes with a completely new solution as well. I mean, the relationship between brain and mind is an issue that has been discussed a lot for a long time in philosophical circles and scientific circles, and it's a crucial thing for understanding our relationship to the divine. In other words, there have been two different main theories that have been proposed to explain where our mind comes from. One has said that the mind is a product of the brain, and this is the idea that dominates all of modern medicine, all of healthcare, all of psychiatry, not all of it, but all of that that is mainstream, so to speak. And the whole educational system is based on the idea that the mind is a creation of the brain. Now, especially in recent times, there's been a lot of people that have been saying the opposite thing, namely that everything is consciousness, and there is a consciousness field that our brains tap into, and or download is a commonly used word that I also use in this set. And I think I in this book I really provide some really very very solid evidence to say that the mind, especially, it's something that we download. It's not a product of a brain. It's a product of the earth, and we are able to download this particular thing that has been so crucial for all of our thinking and all of our development of technology, etc., as the mind is. So that would be, in a nutshell, what the book is about.
Well, I think that you did a fabulous job of explaining it, especially for our listeners out there, because it is a very complex book, and I can perfectly understand why you're turning it into a trilogy. I did read in the front of the book that you've actually published three books prior to this?
Yes. Yes,
and
certainly.
What made you become interested in the Mayan calendar? And I guess my question for our listeners would be, what exactly is the Mayan calendar? Because I know that there's a lot of misconception out there due to the fact that what people do know is that, you know, it ended in 2012 and the world was supposed to come to an end and so forth. So would you like to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to answer the first question, what is surprising is not that I'm interested in the Mayan calendar. What is surprising is that this is not what everybody studies years long, because this is the most important source we have when it comes to understanding where evolution comes from, where we come from, what has created us, and so forth. And also, where we are going, how are we changing, what is happening in the world, and so forth. And the Mayan calendar, you know, it doesn't give all the answers in a very simple way always, but it is the main source for us to understand the answers to these questions. So, in a sense, it's not a strange thing that somebody gets interested in this topic. But of course, you know, there is I have a particular story in how I got in contact with it in late 70s, really. And I went to Mexico and Guatemala on a kind of a backpacking trip. And there I got in contact with the Maya and also with their particular calendar system. And I found out in what ways this was different from our own calendar system. And in fact, it's different from all other calendar systems in the world. The thing about it is that unlike other calendar systems, it is not based on astronomical cycles. The prophetic Mayan calendar system and the so-called sacred calendar describes, you might say, spiritual energies. And these spiritual energies, they will dominate certain time periods. And so, for instance, you know, there are daily energies, and there are much longer terms, billion-year-long energies. But the energy of today, for instance, is then two dog, if you translate to English, and it means that in the essence of the energy of this particular day can be described by these, by the number two, which is a part of a 13-day process, and then by the dog symbol, which is one of 20 day signs that the Maya have been following for thousands of years. And this is very, very different, because in the sense that the calendar is then based on spiritual energies rather than astronomical cycles. And or to put it in other words, this is a metaphysical calendar, a calendar that describes the qualities of time rather than a physical calendar, which would be an astronomical calendar. And astronomical calendars are based on our physical reality, but the Mayan calendar is based on the metaphysical reality. And as far as I know, there is no other calendar that does that. And so anybody who is interested in how the spiritual qualities of time is changing and evolving and so forth, then the Mayan calendar has something very special to offer.
Now, I know that you've worked with hard sciences before. How did this prepare you for your present work?
Well, I think it's always very good to have that kind of background that I did, because even if you know if your science is in another, what seems at least as another field, there is always a scientific method. There is always, for somebody who has been trained on a high level in science, there's always a code of honor that makes you really want to research things as seriously and thoroughly and rigorously as you possibly can. And so in this sense, even though I used to work with cancer research, chemistry and toxicology and these kind of things, and that may seem very different from the kind of studies of the mind that I now am doing, I did learn a lot of things that had just to do with how to approach science, scientific questions, and how to study rigorously also the Mayan calendar, and also the whole idea of finding proof rather than just speculating. I think that has been a very distinguishing thing with my work. I mean, for instance, I think you mentioned earlier here that a couple of years ago there was all this hype about the end of the world and the Mayan calendar. And that was a ridiculous thing, and it came from people that had no, you might say, code of honor, that had no real background in studying these kind of things, because that was completely made up story. There is no Mayan source, no Mayan inscription that talks about the end of the world, or especially not in relation to 2012. But nonetheless, it got spread out there by people who did not approach it with the kind of seriousness and the kind of honesty that you need to approach this kind of a matter. You have to go to the sources and treat them fairly and really see what they are saying, rather than just make up a story of what you yourself might believe or something like that. So in this sense, you know, this whole idea of actually going to the sources and rigorously studying things, they are things that I've brought into the study of the Mayan calendar from my previous background in the hard sciences.
I think that you bring up an interesting point, because, you know, you talk about using your background with science to actually provide facts as opposed to just theory. And I don't think that a lot of people understand that, you know, where the 2012 hype came from was just theory, or, you know, was not based on facts. So I'm glad that you brought that up, because it definitely gives this book a lot more of, I want to say, like a kick behind it. You know, it is legit. It is definitely a legitimate subject, and you've done research to provide that. So I think that's wonderful, and I think that's wonderful that our listeners can understand that.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
You did talk in the book about paradigm shifts. What is the relationship between the Mayan calendar and paradigm shifts? And I know you did mention in the beginning of the book that you experienced a shift. Would you like to discuss that a little bit?
Well, yes, certainly. What the Mayan calendar describes is basically shifts in what we might call the global mind. In other words, all the minds of all the human individuals are connected. And what the Mayan calendar then describes is how this global mind that connects all the humans, how that evolves according to a certain wave function, you might say. And so when there are shifts in the Mayan calendar, there will also then be shifts in this global mind. And when there are shifts in the global mind, that means that people at about the same time start to think differently in significant regards. And so that's, you know, when people start to think differently in significant regards, that's what you call a paradigm shift. And so I would say that paradigm shifts have their origin in the Mayan calendar. And because sometimes it shifts so that the global mind shifts, and as that happens, people start to see things differently. It's amazing, actually, how when we track backward history, how different people have been thinking over the ages. And I would say this is because at certain points in time, the Mayan calendar describes that the global mind undergoes change. So it's by doing this, it allows us to somewhat track our background and also then see into the future. Naturally, of course, we're still just a small little part of a global mind. Each one of us is just, as an individual, we're just a small part of this global mind, and it's not something that we can talk with certainty about everything, how it's going to change. And we all have our own particular individual connection to this global mind that we in some ways are crafting. We're developing a resonance with the global mind. But nonetheless, there are overall changes in this global mind that allows us to understand certain paradigm shifts. And in my case, it is true that there was a significant shift in the Mayan calendar, I would say, in late 2011, but if you want to say it's 2012, that's fine with me too. So there was a significant shift. It's just that the shift is on the level of the mind. The shift is a shift in consciousness. It wasn't in all these speculations about volcanoes erupting or whatever people were saying were completely beside the point, because that's the physical reality, and the Mayan calendar describes our inner world, our inner changes. But of course, when we change internally, we will also start to change externally the world that we're living in. But that's a secondary product of the kind of paradigm shift that took place. And so there was a significant shift in 2011 on the level of the mind, or the global mind. And that had to do with the emergence of a new wave of evolution, which is what the Mayan calendar describes. It describes these different waves of evolution. And the most important, maybe, of the shifts that took place was that a wave was activated that it allows our minds to go into, you might say, unity consciousness. In all respects, it means that a form of the mind could be downloaded that no longer sort of created separations in the ways that it looked upon the world. And that it by itself means that it is now possible to see in a completely new way that everything is connected, and which is quite different from what has been the case for a long time. And that had a lot to do with when I was starting to write my book, because As you mentioned, I've written three books previously that all, in certain ways, deal with the Mayan calendar. And so after the shift, I started to, I thought I should start to write a new book that sort of gives a new perspective of where we come from and where we are going. And so I started to look at human history and how that relates to the Mayan calendar, something I've done many times. But at this point, I also came to write about the Egyptian pyramids, and which are these astounding constructions about 5,000 years old that have just amazed human beings for a very, very long time. And so I wanted to see what's the connection here between these and the Mayan calendar, because there is a wave of evolution that starts 5,100 years ago that is described by the Maya. And so that wave starts at about the same time as people first started to build pyramids on our planet. And so then when I was working on that, I just got this insight that the pyramid, especially the Great Pyramid in Giza, but pyramids in general are they are manifestations, or they are symbols of the global mind. And that was an insight that I could not have made earlier, I would say. But the shift in consciousness that took place allowed me to see this, and that became sort of an opening point for dealing with a number of different things that I could be understood in the continued history of humanity, even leading up to our own point in time. So in my own experience, this book is a result of the kind of paradigm shift that was generated a few years ago when the shift in the Mayan calendar came.
Well, there's so many questions that come to mind just talking with you, because, like I mentioned earlier in the show, the book is very complex, but it's definitely very, very interesting. If anyone is interested in reading it, I definitely recommend you go to Carl Kalleman's website, kalleman.com, kalleman.com, where you can actually find it on Amazon and Kindle. One of my favorite quotes from the book is, "It is not the evolution of civilization that has created the mind, but the evolution of the mind that has created civilization." But I thought that was really interesting, because most of us feel like, you know, with experience comes wisdom. You know, the more we experience, the more we do, the more we recognize, you know, we become more knowledgeable. But you're actually talking about the mind created civilization. It's almost the reverse. So feel that exists. You know, let's talk a little bit about civilization.
Yeah. When you say, you'll have to explain first, I think, what you meant, that wisdom comes from experience, you said, which is, I would agree with that, but are you saying that that would be somehow in contrast to what I'm saying, or
I don't think it's in contrast. I just think that it's something that's recognized by a lot of people that, you know, civilization, you know, everything that we experience socially, you know, we feel like that is what's teaching us. But the way you worded it is actually the reverse. The evolution of mind has created civilization. So how do you feel like that is, I guess, I don't want to use the word coherent, but that's the word that comes to mind. What have you learned that backs that up or supports that?
Well, you know, I think the whole book, I think, demonstrates quite clearly that it is shifts in the mind that, and the initial downloading of the mind that is behind what we call civilization. I mentioned earlier then that there was this so-called long count of the Mayan calendar system that started 5,130 years ago. They have inscriptions that talk about how the Earth was changed, like a mental field was created over the planet at that particular point in time. And what happened then was that when people for the first time actually got a mind, and they downloaded this mind then they started to create civilization. And civilization then, it's really, it has to do with, you know, like building pyramids, like building cities, by about starting to write, starting to count, starting to, all of these things, use metals and in technology and so forth. All of those things go back to a mental shift that allowed human beings to see things differently. In other words, prior to this point in time, people were, as far as we can tell, they were living more in a constant state of unity with the nature and with the divine and so forth, more or less like in a shamanic state all the time. But then when this shift came 5,100 years ago and the long count was initiated, then people got the mind. They had, for the first time, they actually had a mind. And so as a result of that mental shift, people started to create what we call civilizations, which is really city life and so forth. And now, of course, we, 5,000 years later, we're in the midst of this civilization, and most of us really don't think too much about where did it come from or why did humans suddenly start to create civilizations 5,000 years ago. So I would say that consciousness is primary to matter. The mind comes before the physical changes that human beings will create in the form of civilization and civilized life and so forth.
I think that's a very good answer, and I appreciate you answering that question for me. It was something that I thought it was very interesting, and I'm sure our listeners are finding it very interesting as well. You talk a lot about civilizations in your book, and there's just so many different things about civilization in your book, but let's start with some of the theories. What do you feel caused the rise of civilization on our planet, and where do you feel like it is headed?
I think I answered kind of what caused the rise of civilization. It was a mental shift, so that's really that's a big paradigm shift there, because that is a view that consciousness is primary to matter, that it's the changing the evolution of consciousness that causes all the physical changes that we're creating in our world. When it comes to where we're heading, the answer would be a little bit more complex. But as I mentioned, there is, for the first time in human history, the 3 years ago, there was this shift that allows human beings to download a new form of the mind, you might say, to download unity consciousness. And that means that there is a possibility creating a world with much, much less conflicts in the external world. But at the same time, we're in the midst of a big transformation that comes out of this shift a few years ago. And I don't think I'll go into the details of explaining why it's happening. It all comes down to a shift in consciousness. But I also think that much of what we call the modern civilization will now have a very hard time surviving. I think that in a sense, the kind of world that has been created by this separating mind that I talked about is falling apart. So it's a very profound shift that happened a few years ago, and we're only in the beginning of it. The time spans of the Mayan calendar time periods are sometimes they're hundreds of years, and sometimes they're billions of years. But I think that there is possibility of unity consciousness, which is something that hasn't existed before, really. And at the same time, much of the world that we have become used to, which is really very much a world of separation, separation between ourselves as human beings, separation between ourselves and nature, separation between ourselves and the divine. These things will. These forms of separation will find it hard to survive, so I do believe that civilization is facing quite a significant transformation, and a lot of it will not be exactly what we would like to see happen. Most of us, I would say, a lot of it will be very difficult. But on the other hand, there is this ninth wave, the unity wave, that's now available, and to the extent that people really intend very seriously to go into this world of unity consciousness, that is the most important part of the change that took place, and the one that in the long run will lead to a better world for us to live in.
Now, I definitely feel like that's an interesting answer, and very well put. I do concur with you, though, completely. I definitely feel like there is a lot of things about civilization today that may not exist within the next 100 years, and even though they say that change can be sometimes hard, it is ultimately for the better. How may the study of your book contribute to the healing of humanity? I know you talked about changes that may be coming and so forth, but how can we, study your book and contribute to maybe reversing some of these effects or ultimately healing humanity now?
Well, could you repeat that question so I get it quite?
How may the study of your book contribute to the healing of humanity?
Okay. Yes. thank you. Yes. Well, I think it is a crucial thing that we know that our minds actually are not coming from our brains, and that there are certain the minds are developed by certain waves, as I describe them. And these waves, they have different character, and they have led us in different directions in the past. And I would say that by knowing this, by knowing the relationship between consciousness and our brains, it opens up also the possibility that we may be part of especially this wave that is creating unity consciousness. So I think we have to know a lot of things like this. us, know where we come from, know where we're going, or where we may be going, because it's a trilogy, and the first one is really to set the groundwork, so to speak, and describe not only how human history has unfolded, but also to describe the origin of the human mind. And this, I think, in the coming books of the trilogy, we'll go into much more about the future of the mind, and in that sense help us to know that there is this kind of a process that is possible for us to go into a world of unity despite what it may look like on the surface in many parts of the world. So I think it's important to not fantasize, I would say, but actually have a reality basis for understanding what is behind the changes in the world and the evolution of the world and so forth. It's also that, even though, as I mentioned, there's been this activation of a wave of unity consciousness. Now, what we still have to know is that the children or those that have been sort of fully born into this new wave, they are at this point less than 3 years of age. And most of us have been shaped actually by other aspects of the global mind, other waves in the global mind, waves that have been what's usually called dualistic. In other words, like yin-yang polarities, like light-dark polarities. And for a long time, the world, people have been looking at the world through these kind of dualities. And that means that for anybody who is more than 3 years of age has essentially been shaped by a completely different mind than what is now becoming possible. And as we've been shaped by a different kind of mind, and now a new possibility is calling us, is pulling us, you might say, we will actually have to deal with a lot of the past things and set relationships straight. And it's not a completely easy thing to go into this kind of a unity consciousness, and you have to be aware that this wave is here now. We can't take it away. That's completely outside of human power. It's all a divine plan that is playing out in this way. But we may adapt ourselves to it, or we may choose to follow along, which means that it's really very much about creating a new kind of relationship to the divine. And as that happens, we will have to go through a lot of things that we have in our past, whether it is that we may have hurt other people or other people might have hurt us, because we've been living in a world of duality. And now what is calling us, the wave that is calling us and providing a new opportunity for us, is one of unity rather than duality. And this means having to deal with a lot of things if we are going to walk on that path of unity. And I think it really helps people to know that that these waves exist. And not only like a philosophy or some ancient teaching or something like that, but to know and see the rigorous evidence that these waves that is creating the world we're living in, the creating the human mind and how that evolves, that these waves are real. They're absolutely real. It's not just sort of religiously believing in these kind of things, like because somebody else said it or something like that. But if you read my books, you will find that these are things that you can verify, and that makes a difference. Not only that, it allows us to see this new possibility that unity consciousness creates for us, but it also allows us to understand that the transition and the transformation of our own beings to that unity consciousness is not necessarily easy. It will require some spiritual, psychological part on the part of each one of us. We will all, nobody just walks into that kind of a shift. It may be easier for some than for others, but I would say that this is something that will call us all to undergo a change in the time ahead.
Well, that was an amazing answer as well. You talk a lot about unity consciousness, and I noticed that we are starting to run a little short on time, but I just wanted to talk about unity consciousness for a second. How do you develop unity consciousness? For those that are out there are listening, that those are intrigued, that those that will have the opportunity to pick up your book, how do you develop unity consciousness?
Yeah. I think it starts with the intention, so to speak, and I think it starts. It's a very important part of it is to develop a direct relationship with your divine, then most things follow from that. I have my own teaching. I have my path, you might say. I'm very much inspired and learned or taught by something in India called Oneness University that have a number of different processes and so forth that I participate in that are just designed to bring people into spiritual awakening and to bring myself into this kind of unity consciousness. There might be a number of different paths like that, or teachings or processes being offered. And so the most important thing, I think, is for people to create and to have an intention. And, as the Bible says, seek and you will find. But you have to seek very sincerely, I would say. And you have to not just go for what seems like the easiest, most accessible, available way of working with this. If you feel that it's not going deep enough, if you're not coming to a state of consciousness where you really feel pulled into unity with the divine, then I think you should seek somewhere else, so to speak. And So I think it's that is, you know, seek and you will find. But it starts with an intention, and it starts with a knowledge that I am providing in my books that this possibility now exists. And it didn't exist just a few years ago. And then I think you will... Eventually, you will find it if you seek and have the true intention. It's really in a sense it's a challenging intention to have because it won't make you rich and it's really just the benefits of experiencing the unity and experiencing the unity with others and with nature very much is an important thing and that is of course a joyful thing and that's really what I hope will pull people to seek these kind of processes that are possible today to go further into unity consciousness.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being here today with me and allowing me to interview you. I think that your book is fabulous, and I definitely feel like some of our listeners will be able to purchase it or pick it up or read it. Now, you did say in the beginning of the interview, and I know you mentioned this in your book, that this is part of a trilogy. Do you have any idea when the second one or the second book in the trilogy will be coming out?
Oh, I think that will take about a year or so. I would suspect towards the fall of 2015. And I think there is enough in the first book to get people started. And as I said, this is a true paradigm shift. It's not something that anyone has heard before. And that's something, these kind of things are things that I'm curious about. And so in that sense, anybody who wants to hear something completely new about what made our civilization and what made our mind, to them I recommend to go into this book and hopefully people that will create thinking along new lines, and then at some point then go into these continued volumes of the trilogy. You mentioned my website, Kalleman, Kalleman.com, and there you can sign up for getting information and or read the blogs or you might order the books, or which you can also do on Amazon and Barnes and Noble, and so forth. And I have Facebook pages and these kind of things also for people that want to get more involved with the Mayan calendar and so forth.
Now, do you have an email just in case anybody would like to contact you personally and ask you any questions about the book?
Yeah, I think the easiest way then is to go to my website. There is a mailing option, so to speak. You will find a little envelope where you can mail, and then you will get in contact with me.
Well, thank you so much. Was there anything that you would like to leave us with today? Anything that maybe we didn't get a chance to talk about, or any final words you would like our listeners to know about your book?
No, not really. Thank you very much for having me on your show. I just want to emphasize that, you know, we're really in the beginning of a very significant paradigm shift. We're starting to look at the world in a way that we haven't looked at before. And it will confront us with a lot of choices. notably, you know, whether to stay in the old paradigm or go into a new paradigm like I'm proposing in this particular book. And in the end, I think the path of joy and happiness and peace will be that path of being connected to this wave of unity consciousness that the Mayan calendar describes.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today, and I wish you the best of luck with your current book, the ones that you've published before and the ones that I know you are going to publish, and hopefully we will be able to talk to you again in the future about the last two books
yes.
in the trilogy. So I want to thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Courtney. Thank you.
For those of you that are out there and may have been listening, you are listening with Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, and you're listening live with In Touch Interviews. Our guest today was Carl Kalaman, and he is the author of The Global Mind and the Rise of Civilization. Like he mentioned, you can find it online at his website, www.kalaman.com. That's C-A-L-L-E-M-A-N. Or you can actually look for it on Amazon, and you can get it in paper copy, or you can actually get it on your Kindle. I definitely recommend you pick up this book and read it. It's nothing that you've read before, and it's definitely something that is going to change and help evolve the future. If you are ever interested in being on Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, please contact me, Courtney, at 734-513-6137, or you can email me at radio@bodymindspiritguide.com. I want to wish everybody a happy July, and enjoy your week. Bye-bye.